Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Vladimir Kolesnikov. I'm a Windows technical evangelist in Microsoft. And today I want to talk to you about using platform-specific features in your game to make this game more attractive and addictive for the user. It is not about just using Windows and Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 features like we need to use. It might be application store APIs or like that. This is about involving the platform experience into your gameplay and making your game, your Unity game, to be not just another app on the online device, but a part of the full platform experience. So, as we many times mentioned, Unity for Windows 8 and for Windows Phone are in beta now. So some features are not implemented yet, some features is not working yet as supposed, and some things you should consider when you're building a game. So what are the big traits of a great game when you're building it using Unity or without it? So there are the main features your game may implement or not. Some of these features are nice to have, but two of them are really must have. There's a respect the device experience and snap and scale beautifully. So you should implement some functionality to respect different device capabilities like input devices, keyboard and mouse and touch and even joysticks. You should support snapping and filling modes for your games. For your game, and then you may involve more platform-specific features into your game to make it more interesting for the user, like lifestyle, contracts, and making your game alive with some connected services, use roaming storage, and use device capabilities, but not just device, but device plus operating system capabilities. What I'm going to talk about. So let's start from devices. So as you already know, we have big range of devices, of types of devices, like desktops with a keyboard, laptops with a keyboard and sometimes with touch, tablets, monoblocks, and of course phone with a touch experience. So when you're building a game, you should consider and you should respect all these kinds of input experience, because you should check that your game is running on device with keyboard and touch or with touch only. So you should respect it and implement all this functionality with touch joysticks, with the mouse look, with maybe turning on and turning off of some capabilities. So you should respect it. And by the Windows Store policy, you should at least support keyboard plus mouse and touch input. This is a policy. But it's not just about duties, it's about opportunity, because you may differentiate your game from all other games by using, for example, joystick, because if you are doing a game like Racing Simulator, it's obvious to be a great idea about implementing joystick support. It's pretty easy with Windows Runtime API. And we even have some SDKs for Windows Phone to use joysticks with, can't remember, it's Mogar, JC, right? Mogar. So Moga have an SDK for support joysticks on Windows Phone. That's pretty awesome. About snapping and scaling, I'm just repeating some things guys before me already mentioned. If you are doing an application or game on Windows 8, you should support the different modes of working for user. For example, this snapped view and failed view. And you may implement a different gameplays for every mode. Also, you should support several resolutions, several screen ratios, scales by doing more, textures, backgrounds for different scales, and of course, view states. For example, let's see to cut the rope. They may use two different ways to implement gameplay for a snapped view, like this one on the left. So it continues playing while I'm searching in Bing, or this one just saying me press continue or go to full screen to continue play with my game. So it's pretty cool to let your kid keep playing with the game while you're reading your news. Tiles and toast notifications. Tiles are actually work like a faces for your game. Tile is a face for your game, and you may keep your face without any emotions, and you may keep your face static, but you may involve your tile to be a language for your game, and to bring some information to user, to speak with the user, to talk to user when he's actually not playing with your game. That's a big opportunity to make your game more addictive when you are involving the user in a hidden gameplay. For example, it's much more it's even more usable for massive multiplayer games like when many users involved online without you, and when you have some important information, some important actions, your user can see it. And when I see a message or when I see any new content on my tile, I want to continue with playing with the game. So we actually have several type of live tiles in Windows 8, and several designs. You can see it on this screen. So for your game, there are some examples of not just game but application. You might display your current status of the game or where gamer is. You may display a new content delivered, like new level implemented or like that. And you may display both, status and messages about new content and so on. So there is a different type of animations, different type of changing pictures on your live tile. And you may generate it both locally and remotely. On Windows Phone, we have pretty same picture. So we have different sizes of tile and different types. It's a slightly different design, but it works on the same with the same principles. For example, we have the same type of design for these kind of tiles on the right side. For toast notifications, there are again pretty similar model with some limitations because of just idea of toast notifications. On Windows 8, I see notifications from remote services or from my local games. By the way, like this. So somebody made a shot in the online shooter game, and I can see the message about it. On the phone, the picture is much different because phone has a smaller screen, has a different experience in terms of tiles availability, so toast on the phone are smaller. But anyway, you can display, you know, your game logo, you can display some messages, so it's enough, it's maybe enough for the phone. So you can use toast notifications both on your phone and on your tablet, and you may even do it by the very similar code, and I'm going to show you how to do this. So now I'll show you the game, which is very familiar to you, I believe. It is Angry Birds. So I have opened two similar project, exact the same project in Unity for Windows 8 and for Windows Phone 8, and I'm going to run this Windows 8 version and demonstrate some platform specific features. So let's go to this small tile. Yes, run this game. So you know this game very much, but now I'm going to kill this enemy and see, I have a toast notifications. It's actually was sent by my mobile service, my Azure mobile service, to all devices that has this game, that have this game installed. So it's like broadcast notifications for all users. That's how everybody can can be aware about a death in the game, in case if it's a massive multiplayer game. I can have the same gameplay on my phone. Let's go to the phone and select out this stuff temporarily. This is my phone. And this is my, excuse me. And this is my Angry Birds game here. So it's running here. Yes, allow. So this is my game here. I can, you know, move. Yes, and you can see that every time I kill something in the game on the phone, I have a toast notifications on my desktop, and the same on my laptop actually, and the same situation. If you can hear it, so I cannot demonstrate it side by side on one time. Every time when I kill something or somebody here, I have a toast notifications here. That's how it works. At the same time, both on Windows Phone and on Windows 8, I have a live tile changing, you know, with some information from my events in this game. And when we open the project, let's see the script for, you know, weapons. It's a health script. When somebody dies, it handled this event. I actually make a fire notification and then update the tile. So this is the same code for Windows Store and Windows Phone 8. And as you can see, I use the special plugin for doing this stuff. This is my plugin project. It uses the same code base, the same actual code file, both for Windows Phone and Windows Store version of plugin. And the original versions of the files are in this project, Unity WinRT plugin. So these are original versions. In Windows Phone versions, I have just links to these files, so they're actually the same. Every time I change, Lifetiles.cs, it changed both in Windows runtime and Windows Phone projects. So yes, there are some ifdefs for, there are some platform-specific code for Windows Phone, because not all the features are the same, but most of the code are pretty similar. That's how it works in the plugins. So if you need something that Unity doesn't have historically, or just because it's not so popular feature for game developers in Unity, you may implement it by yourself. And for Windows 8, it's even more important, because Windows 8 has more, very specific features like lifetiles that other platforms don't. Okay, let's continue with this stuff. By the way, for the DOS notifications, we may have different designs as lifetiles have. DOS notifications you saw before is very simple, because I tried to make the code as shorter as possible. How can you deliver all this content for lifetiles or for push notifications? You may deliver it locally by sending a notification when you're running, when your game is running. You can schedule updates both by getting content, getting external content, or using background services and background tasks as a scheduled updates. You may do, again, a periodic updates. It's the same as scheduled, but it actually works more specifically. And you may use push notifications from external services to your user device, as I demonstrated to you. Some important steps you should go through for push notifications. When you're doing a Windows 8 application, Windows 8 game using Unity, please make sure you enable internet client capability. You make your application and the manifest DOS enabled. You associate application with the store, even for testing purposes, because this is a requirement from Microsoft Push Notification Services. And you has a privacy policy item implemented in your application, because again, it's a requirement from Windows Store. I will demonstrate how easy you can implement it. And for Windows Phone 8, you should enable networking capability, again, because you use network, and you should enable push notification capability. And even more, on Windows 8, and by the way, on Windows Phone 8 as well, you may use more features. And for example, changing lock screen image. Just imagine your online game with a Unity client on the client side, on the device side, has something important, something ridiculous, like King Kong on the Space Needle. So you may change user's lock screen, and when I see King Kong on the Space Needle, I always go through the game and try to understand what's going on, if I'm really addicted game player. So you may change this information using the badges, because it's a small science with numbers. You may change and bring some information to your user. And you can use such advanced things like row notifications and control channels in accordance with the background services to implement very advanced networking capabilities, maybe playing some media content and stuff like this. So all this stuff is on MSDN, and you may go through these advanced things. So live tiles, toast notifications, and badges make your game more addictive and more live for users. So your user continues to play even when he's not in your game. Okay, let's talk about charms and contracts. You already know that we have different charms and corresponding contracts just by using this charms panel on the left. So we have settings contract, settings charm, and corresponding contract for doing some, you know, stuff like settings and privacy policies and controlling permissions of the application. So you may implement settings by using platform capabilities like using XAML or HTML. And you may implement your own game experience writing Unity. So that's your choice. But anyway, users of Windows 8 expect that when they go to Settings Charm and select Settings item, they will see any Settings UI for your game. So despite if you have a different, different item in your menus. For share contract, we have a pretty big stuff for implement very interesting things, and I'm going to demonstrate how does it work. Yes, this is how it works for mail application. For search contract, again, it is not so so typical for the games, but if your game or your gameplay consider any type of search, it's a reason for implementing search contract in your application and support search from the start screen or from any other applications or directly in your game. And finally, file picker contract. It's mostly interesting for you for your game as a consumer of information from camera and photos and SkyDrive by using just file pickers API. So you don't worry about the real source of the information. Is it hard drive? Is it SkyDrive? Is it camera? Is it any other service? You just consume this information. This is how file picker contract works. So how to implement charms and contracts in your game? I have some implemented here. So let's go to my plugin again. And we can see that there is a share data file and corresponding set of classes that implements in the plugin capability of sharing images into any applications from your game. So your game doesn't actually implement sending, pictures to Twitter or Facebook, but having all these applications installed, user creates a synergy between your game and all other applications installed. So as soon as he has more and more applications installed, all the applications are becoming more richer. So let's see how it works on the Unity side. I have a script for supporting share image, because I should prepare some information on the Unity side. And this is, by the way, how you can interact not just one way from from Unity to plugin, but a way back from plugin to a Unity script. So this is a class implementing interface like iShare handler actually defined in the plugin. And by this interface, the plugin gets all this picture stuff from your game. So it works like this. I launch my game again. Yes, go to the share contract, click share, select, you know, the different method tweet as an alternate client for Twitter. And here I see the screenshot for the time of sharing. So I may share the screenshot easily without implementing any networking features for sharing this image externally to Facebook or Twitter or somewhere else. So that's how a share contract works. Another thing I would like to demonstrate for you in, you know, in real time is implementing settings contract. I already mentioned that you must have a privacy policy implemented in your game in case if you use networking stuff. So let's go to the application, right to my Unity-generated Windows Store application solution, and put some code right here. So I have a snippet for this. What I'm actually doing is I work with settings pane class for my current view, and every time when it requests a list of comments from me, I add a privacy policy comment to there with the handler of this comment that actually opens this URL. This is standard Microsoft policy. Let's see how it works. This is like a couple of lines of code. And now I have a privacy policy setting implemented. It's very easy. Just prepare your privacy policy and put somewhere in the internet. That's it. This is Microsoft privacy policy. Okay, this is how sharing and settings work in Windows Store applications. Several words about XAML and DirectX. Actually, Unity can generate on Windows 8, it can generate for you XAML projects, XAML Visual Studio solutions. It brings some advanced, it brings some additional capabilities to for your application to use more controls, to use more richer experience, to use the richer experience in your game using platform implemented controls. So if you have not just a game but maybe graphical applications, so as far as I know, 30% of Unity in Karma are not from gaming side, right? So there are many non-gaming applications built with Unity. You may implement part of your user interface or even most part of your user interface using XAML. This is a declarative model of doing user interface. So I'll try to show you how it actually works in the project, if this project is actually XAML. Yes, this is a XAML project. What I have now on my main page is the only special control swap chain background panel for chaining all the DirectX stuff from Unity Engine to this XAML page. If I try to add, you know, button here with some content, hello, Unity. I have a button of top or on top of my swap chain. And of course, I should find it firstly with this small screen. somewhere here. So let's go with like 60 and like 40. Yes, it's easier. So I have a button, fit all. Yeah, this is my button. It's not very big, but now I can see where is it. Yeah, this is my button. So now I can launch the game. And I hope to see this hell button. Yes, it's actually a hell, this game. So I can perform handling of clicking this button. I can put additional controls like application panels to this game. So I can avoid a bunch of work doing user interface if I'm not going to use libraries like Angui and like this. Just to understand what we have, so this is just examples of some controls you may use in your games, and even more are available from our partners, from Codeplex, from codemsdn.com, and many other places. So a little bit about connecting experience. You saw that I used a special service in the cloud for doing my toast notification stuff. Actually, I used Windows Azure Mobile Services, and it took for me like 10 minutes to implement all this stuff using JavaScript on the server side. So how it looks like, go to my mobile service dashboard. I created this mobile service just by several clicks. It's for free if you are not going to use a large volume of requests. And here I have data. So actually two tables. These tables using dynamic schema. So I define this schema actually in my application, in my plugin. I define the schema not by doing not by adding columns or removing columns in the dashboard, but just by defining a class here in my code with some attributes that defines actually fields of my table in Windows Azure. So as soon as I create or just get table using this one line of code, it parses all my metadata from this class defined in the code and creates corresponding fields and all required attributes in the tables in Windows Azure. So I have two tables, one for device registration for doing push broadcasting, and second one for fires. The most interesting stuff here is a script. Actually, scripts here work like a trigger, like triggers. So every time when something inserts a row in my table, this script works and goes through all the devices and send push notifications by using the corresponding API for Windows or for phone. It's just several lines of code, but it does a bunch of work for me. So this is how it works. We may create a scheduler for removing expired notification channels. Here we define all the credentials for push notifications. We may configure authentication in our application user Microsoft account, also known as Live ID, Facebook account, Twitter, or Google account. So it's big stuff already implemented for you, and you just may use it. Of course, all this stuff will be available. All this code and samples will be available for you, so you will be able to play with it. Some words about data roaming. So, on your device, every Windows Store application, and as well as Windows Phone, has a deal with two types of data: application data, which is local for application, and user data like documents, music, video, and stuff like this. So you may do with your application data anything. What do you want? For user data, there are some restrictions and rules, but anyway, if you're doing even very consumable or application with a bunch of stuff generated, you may work with both with application data, of course, and with user data. But we have much more interesting types of data is roaming data. There is a special type of storage available for Windows 8 Windows Store application. This is roaming storage. So all the data from this storage are synchronized between devices with the same Microsoft account. So there was no frictions from you guys. Just save your data in the roaming storage. The only limitation we have with this storage is the size, because the roaming storage has a pretty small quota. So you cannot save, game levels there. You may save a game state if it's not so big. You may save some settings. You may save user IDs or device IDs, and then actually save all this bunch of data you need to save somewhere in the cloud, for example, in Windows Azure. But again, you don't have to do anything for synchronizing these data between devices. This is great. And finally, we'll reach hardware. So Windows 8 devices, as well as Windows Phone with operating system, provides a great access to device capabilities, including camera, microphone, all this set of sensors like NFC, and of course to touch. And you may use it in your game. If it's already implemented in Unity, that's great. If it is not, you may use it by yourself by using plugins or writing the plugins by yourself again. So just to make sure you know, there are several sensors that are supported in Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. GPS, motion sensor, it's actually a set of accelerometer, gyro, compass, a light sensor, and NFC. And you can do very interesting things with every of these sensors. For example, very basic scenario, like use a rotation of the device in your game. Like, as far as I know, cut the rope on the Windows has. So when you rotate the device, your gameplay might be changed. Or the rotation of the device, like in racing simulators, and could be a part of gameplay. The second kind of considering of sensors is light-aware gaming. So your user may play in the dark room, on the beach, you know, or in the car, in the when he's in traffic jams. So there are different light environments for this user every time when he's starting playing with your game. So you may consider this environment and provide the right type of interface, right colors, if your gameplay supports it, if it's okay for you and for your game. One interesting thing for Windows Phone that's unfortunately is not available yet for on Windows. It's voice-driven games. Because you may use speech recognition features on your Windows phone by three different ways. Commands, classic speech recognition like dictation, and text-to-speech. And it's very interesting and very attractive, personally for me, for example, to have a game who can speak with me, not just by using pre-recorded files, pre-recorded audio, but by using a dynamic generation of speech. And the same for commands. If I can play using my voice, it's pretty interesting. It's a different game experience and different gameplay. You may use it. I just put some tips, some directions on the right side of the slide to understand how it works. So again, when you are using more device capabilities, when you're using all device capabilities that it has, you may make your game again more attractive for user, because users actually pay for a device with more features. And when they not just paid, but actually used these capabilities in some applications, they respect your game more, because you make it using all this value from the device. Some words about the stores. Most of these features are you're already aware of, but just to repeat from technical side. So we have three key technical features in our stores: trial, in our purchase, and third-party payment systems, especially in Windows Store. For trial, it's pretty easy to use it. You just select price tier for your application. You select trial period, and you may set a some period for trial, or just limit functionality of your game by using API. Especially current app license information to check if trial expired, or if it's near to expire, or if you are using never expires trial for limitation of your features. In our purchase works by the very common way. You just load all your in-app products or in-app enough features in the store. You describe it, you set the price, and then you can check if a user already bought it. You may invoke the actual purchase here, and even check the receipt, because receipt is signed by Microsoft, so you may trust it. It's signed by signature. So how it works? Just to demonstrate, because I'm not sure if somebody already demonstrated it today. I have a Unity game here, Drift Mania Championship. So there are some type of cars here. Yeah, and I would like to unlock this car, but I don't have money, as usually. So let's try to purchase. Yes, I need more money, so select like cheaper one. So this is a Windows Store interface. It's just ask me if I'm sure to buy this item. Yes, I'm sure. I'm entering my password. So now I have more money in this game, and maybe I can buy this car. Let's check. No, I cannot. I need more money. So anyway, I spent some money in this game. Developers should be happy. Okay. It seems I should skip this slide. So again, while we are in the beta, again, there are some topics to discuss after all this session today and tomorrow. It's networking, it's JavaScript and collections, camera and microphone, input, and so on. So many partners who already build the games have some workarounds for this stuff, have some receipts, have some tips and tricks. And right after my session, there will be some very useful session about lessons learned, which lessons they learned while redoing all the games already published in Windows Store or Windows Phone Store. So it was a really great session, so don't miss it. Fortunately, you actually don't have to do all this stuff by yourself, because some of Unity partners and our partners already build some plugins for you. And I would like to you know, not to announce, but to talk to you about two companies, two kind of plugins from Prime31 and Bitrave that already support Windows Store with all this functionality like live tiles, snap views, store, so it means in-app purchasing, even analytics, search, snapping view handling, and so on. And I have a very simple demo project here for Bitrave. So this is a very simple game. I can run it now, it's already generated for me by Unity. So here we have a example live tiles functionality demo. So this project actually contains a sample, and I would like to change my tile to to this type of tile, to this template as defined by MSDN documentation. So let's see if it works. Yes, it actually changed to this type of tile with some text there, actually four line of text. That's how it works. If we see to the code, scripts, so lifetile UI, this is just definition for some controls which actually change the tile. So when I try to select like any kind of text tile, for example, I just select this type of tile, it's defined only the content for the tile and call this plugin API. So you may be focused only to the content if you use third-party plugins. I'm pretty sure I hope they will be available in the asset store very soon, as soon as Unity will be shipped, I think. So what's the main thing here is that Windows and Windows Phone provide some capabilities and some even design principles for building high-quality games. That's the main point. But with advanced user experience and, as I said many times, continuous involvement of a user into your game, so you may unlock all these features in your Unity games by using some Unity functions and using third-party or your own plugins, Windows runtime plugins. There are some resources for you to know if you are interested in all stuff I demonstrated, like Windows Azure. You may try it very quickly. If you are going to publish your games on Windows Phone and Windows Store, try these links, and of course documentation. If you have, if you will have more questions after these 2 days of this event, you may ask me directly in Twitter or by email. Thank you. So, any questions for now? Oh, yeah, we have three questions online. How do I pass event, how do I pass events to and from XAML to Unity? Yes, actually, you may call your scripts, your Unity scripts, objects from your generated application, like because you have this is the one project. You have all your Unity script assemblies as a part of your Visual Studio project. So you may use a code like this. So it's not the final code. It's just a direction, like Unity engine game object. We find game object with tag. This is actually so you may provide a tag, get game object. So if you know what type is for this object, just by referencing this C# assembly generated on your script from Unity, you may make a type conversion and then work with your script objects from your application. So by this way, you may do events handling because you have two points, two-way interface, both from script to application by implementing maybe some interfaces defined in Unity script and the way back. Sensors. What of Wi-Fi direct for ad hoc? Question disappeared. unfortunately, I cannot answer now. So if you need an answer or somebody knows the answer, they're talking about ad hoc connections using Wi-Fi.
We have peer-to-peer APIs
on
Windows 8.
Yeah, we have peer-to-peer APIs Windows 8. Thank you, Jaime. How do I can I get media as textures and use them with Unity like video? Yes, you of course can use any kind of content. So it's more depends on Unity engine if you may use it inside Unity or not. And the last questions regarding the roaming data. Do you have to use Azure to take advantage of it? No. It's handling by Windows infrastructure. Sorry?
Repeat the question.
Regarding the roaming data, do you have to use Windows Azure to take advantage of it? You don't have, because roaming storage is different from Windows Azure. It's two different things. We don't know which infrastructure actually works for roaming data, but you don't have to use Windows Azure. All questions? Thank you very much again.